From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. On Monday, President Obama gave his first formal interview as commander-in-chief to the Dubai-based Al Jazeera competitor, Al Arabiya.
My job is to communicate the fact that the United States has a stake in the well-being of the Muslim world, that the language we use has to be language of respect.
In the 17-minute discussion, Obama also addressed the future of Israel and Palestine, a nuclear-armed Iran, and the demonization of America in the Middle East. Reactions reverberated around the world to the first presidential interview, but we were curious about the reaction of the interviewer, Al Arabiya's Washington bureau chief, Hisham Milham. He didn't know he'd be interviewing the president at 5 p.m. on Monday until 9 a.m. that morning. And when he found out, well, he felt kinda
lucky, ecstatic, exhilarated, under pressure.
Did you feel ready?
You're always ready, because I've been mentally ready for this since the moment he announced that he's going to address the Muslim world from the heart of a Muslim capital within the first 100 days. At that time, I began to mobilize my friends, people who knew him, worked with him, urging them, arm-twisting them, telling them to say, you know, good thing about me. But I never thought that he would give it to us that early. So on Monday, when someone from the National Security Council said, I'm going to either make your day or ruin your day. Don't tell this to anybody except your people in Dubai. The president would like to see you at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And I laughed. I said, well, I have a full schedule, but I think I can accommodate the president.
So you think it was the recommendations that did it? Certainly not just that.
Look, I landed the first interview with George Bush for an Arab network, so maybe it's bipartisan, I don't know. Maybe I'm too old and I'm known here, or maybe because they think that my channel is credible, or they think I am credible. I would like to think that, obviously.
So on Al Arabiya's website, it says the channel is broadcast to an estimated 130 million Arab-speaking people around the world. With that kind of reach, did you feel a particular kind of pressure to represent a wide variety of people and passions and political priorities?
Yes, I felt pressure. We are talking about the United States having serious problems in the Muslim world. You have two raging wars, costly, in Iraq and in Afghanistan. You have disillusionment on both sides. You have the legacy of the last 8 years, not to talk about the legacy of the last 60 years. And it is extremely important for me to ask the right questions. And it's extremely important for the president, I felt, for him to say the right things. There are lives at stakes here. We are not talking about something theoretical. So definitely, if you take your job seriously, when you're given a chance like that, there's something wrong with you if you don't feel a sense of anticipation and strain, really. And the reaction, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing because I was involved in it, and I don't want to sound too corny about this, but I expected there would be a positive reaction. I expected that we'd be quoted left and right, but I really did not expect that kind of an overwhelming, almost universal reaction.
What was the one thing that seemed to come up most often? What struck your viewers most?
His authenticity. Average Arabs and Muslims felt, even when they listened or watched the president speaking to them in Arabic translation, they felt that he has the honesty in his tone. And I think he clinched it when he said, I have some members of my family who are Muslims. And the way he approached the Muslim world, the language that he used, is an extremely aware of the meaning of words. And I think he was effective in reaching out and enforcing even the cynics in the Arab world and the Muslim world to listen to him.
So was it more a question of his demeanor than any policy statements he made?
Policy is framed with language. If you look carefully, if you parse his words when he talks about the war on terror, he doesn't talk about it in generalizations. He focuses essentially on the real enemy of the United States, which is Al-Qaeda organization and its affiliated groups. The problem with President Bush was that he would lump Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, all sorts of Islamist groups together. And he muddled the issue. Conceptually, he muddled the issue.
You know, it's funny, when we spoke to you back in 2005, you talked about the stunning irrelevance of Al-Hara, which was the Arabic language channel funded by the U.S. based in Virginia that's broadcast throughout the Middle East, part of the Bush administration's hearts and minds effort. And judging from what you said back then, when we talk about hearts and minds, You say no campaign will work unless it's actually backed by changes in policy, or at least policy that matches the positive rhetoric. You don't think that Obama can win this battle for hearts and minds with rhetoric, right? Not even if he does 100 interviews on Al Arabiya.
Images, perceptions are shaped by policies. There was a time when the United States was held in high esteem in the Arab and the Muslim world for a variety of reasons. One of them is America the Educator that built the American University in Beirut in 1865. Later on, the American University in Cairo. You have the America of President Wilson and his declarations about the people who were colonized by the Europeans. You have the America that opened up its shores to immigrants from what is today Lebanon, Syria, and Palestine. And then beyond that, the most important thing about America and the collective minds of Arabs and Muslims was this is the major Western power without a colonial legacy in the Middle East. That's why people looked up to the United States before. Perceptions change. They are not etched in stone. And that's the beauty of it. I think President Obama understands this. Images and perceptions are related to policy. But also, I would say, style and words do matter, but they do matter up to a certain point. Fundamentally, as the president himself, as President Obama said, judge me by my actions, don't judge me by my words.
Do you find it hard to be objective about Barack Obama?
Somewhat. When I covered him during the elections, of course, you try to be as dispassionate as possible. But I always remember what one of my favorite philosophers, Friedrich Nietzsche, said, you cannot be totally impartial in a world where you live in it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hisham Melham is the Washington Bureau Chief for Al Arabiya.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.